Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, September 8th, the year of our Lord 2024, and this is the 16th Sunday after Pentecost. It is a joy to welcome you here to the podcast. I pray you are well, and I pray that this will be a time of renewal, revitalization, a little bit of challenge, as we gather together to reflect on God's good word, to pray, to have a little time of music and silence, that all of it together would make some sacred space for you in your day. And as is our custom and practice at the beginning of the podcast, we begin in a spirit and a mindset of thanksgiving. And we do that by taking in a nice big breath and holding on to that breath for a moment, savoring it, thinking about it, as we come to an understanding that it's a gift. It is indeed the breath of life, a sustaining breath. And as you breathe, I encourage you to call to mind those things that light you up inside, that bring joy to your spirit. The people you love most, your favorite places, moments in time. And as you call these things to mind, give thanks to God for all of it. For all of the people, the places, the things, the situations, the opportunities that have been challenging, have been joyful. And as you consider these things, perhaps turn your face toward the heavens. Open your arms as wide as you can. And in this posture, with the goodness of God foremost in your mind, let's begin together in worship. Please join me in the call to worship, as printed in your digital bulletin. You can find that digital bulletin just to the left of where you found today's podcast. There's a tab there just below the line that says Sermon Notes. Click in that area, and the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. People of God, open your eyes. Look around. The presence of our Lord Jesus Christ is here, among us and within us. God's salvation is close at hand, nearer than you know. So open your hearts and minds to the Spirit, and let's worship God together. Friends, our gospel reading today comes from Mark's gospel in the 7th chapter, verses 24 through 37. From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him. And she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." And when she went home, she found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay hands on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears. And he spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened. His tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your word, alive and living among us. We pray, O God, that you'll join us in this time of reflection so that we could truly hear you, that our ears would be opened and our hearts and our minds would be open to the truth that you are revealing to us here, that we could receive the gift of your good word. And so we pray that you would save us from distraction, that you would save us from misinterpretation, and allow us to hear your voice right now. We pray this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Friends, I'm standing in the sanctuary at the Pensacola Beach Community Church, which is where I usually record the podcast and do my sermon preparation. And generally speaking, that sermon preparation involves reading and rereading and reading again the lectionary text for the week, the text we're going to be focusing on, reading some commentaries and a lot of prayer, and pacing around and talking to myself and talking to God and trying to call out the word or a theme that at least speaks to my heart and to the best of my ability to pray and discern the word that I sense that God has for me to share with you. And today is like all those other times, though it's taken a lot of time and a lot of extra time, it seems, to call this word out and to have it come to the surface. And so here it is. You need to be healed. I'll repeat that. You need to be healed. I need to be healed. And you, my friend, need to be healed. And hearing me say that, you might say, depending on your circumstance, yes, thank you, Captain Obvious. I do need to be healed. I'm afflicted in this or that way. I have a very urgent and deep need for healing, so thank you for saying so. Others of you, I will include myself in this category when I had this sense of clarity on what to talk about. Yeah, sure, I suppose I need to be healed. But, I mean, not really. I can show you my prayer list. These people, they need to be healed. And that's where the Spirit just kind of sat me down in a pew and essentially said, no, you all need to be healed. The gospel's about healing. The text is about healing. And you've got to broaden your understanding of healing. So with that in mind, let's consider what Mark has to say to us. And before I get specifically to today's reading, a few things from Mark. One, I think it's always helpful to go right to the beginning of Mark and ask, why did Mark put this together? Considered to be the earliest of the Gospels, maybe the most Jewish of the Gospels. He tells the story quickly and efficiently. But why did he set to write it down at all? And he tells us right here, chapter 1, verse 1, this is the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Let that sink in. Why did Mark write this? What's he saying? Right at the beginning, he says this. This is the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. And if we have been around church for a while, the enormity of that sentence might be lost on us. The healing power of that sentence might be missed. Because in Mark's investigation, in his conversations, which many believe were conversations with Peter and eyewitnesses, he writes with boldness and assurance, this is the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Not Jesus, the nice guy. Not Jesus, the wise man. Not Jesus, the pretty remarkable prophet, but the Messiah, the Son of God. And then let me tell you a story to prove my point. And we hear the story of the one who makes his way through the world. And he brings miraculous healing to a land where people need miraculous healing. And he teaches them their story in a way that's brand new to them. He teaches as if he's the author of the story himself. And the teaching and the healing often gets him in conflict with the people who understand themselves to be responsible for the teaching and the healing. But Jesus sees that they have gone far afield, many of them. And that the teaching and the healing and the rite and the ritual has been missing the point. At the beginning of chapter 7, where we find today's reading, just before, at the beginning of 7, we have the story of Jesus in conflict with just this caste of people. The more erudite class, the educated, the Pharisees, the scribes, the religious authorities, who are upset with Jesus, and maybe more specifically, Jesus' disciples. How could this brilliant rabbi pick such a rabble to be his students and followers, to be the ones that carry on in his name? These are just commoners, fishermen and tradesfolks, tax collectors. These are not the people that will carry on the traditions and the story of the people of Israel. Surely not. They don't even wash their hands before they eat. That is, they don't engage in the ritual practice of the hand washing before they eat. And they're nitpicking. And Jesus calls them on it. You can wash your hands all you want, but if your rites and your rituals don't change who you are, they're essentially useless. If those practices don't sink deep inside, if they're not all about a deep and abiding reverence for the great God Almighty in the healing and changing work that that God can do in our lives, don't bother. Because all the hand washing in the world won't clean your heart. Eat what you want. It's not what you eat. It's what comes out of your mouth, which wells up from your heart. That's the indication of who you are. That's the indication of the kind of healing you need, or the validity, the efficacy of your religion. It's what comes up from your heart. And so with that in mind, Jesus defining for them and for his disciples what it means to truly have a clean and pure heart, then we see Jesus who needs to get out of town. Because if you flip back, you read these stories, chapters 1 through 6, he's been busy. He's taking a lot of risk, moving some miles. Very busy, very draining work for this one who is fully God and fully human. So he makes his way out of town. We'll just read from the text, verse 24. From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. Tyre is Gentile territory. There'd be fewer, a lower Jewish population there, a place where he might just be able to take a break. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there because he needed a break. And yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and she bowed down at his feet. And we learn something about this woman. Now the woman was a Gentile, a non-Jew, of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. This woman comes. She has a daughter who is tormented by an unclean spirit. This woman is not a Jew, but she's heard of Jesus. Jesus has learned by her presence that his reputation has preceded him. The word is out. The God of Israel is moving and healing. And they want a part of the healing. If your child is afflicted, you want a part of that healing. You're not going to worry about that person's pedigree or where they worship. You've heard that they can bring healing. Your kid needs healing. And so you make your way there and you throw yourself down at his feet and you say, "Sir, heal my child." And you could spend some time in the nature of this dialogue between Jesus and this woman. But a New Testament scholar N.T. Wright describes this as more of a banter. It's easy to have Jesus come off as harsh and judgmental, but he's just stating the thing that's in the room. She knows it, and he knows it. I have come as the Messiah to save the lost children of the people of Israel, the lost children of Israel. And you come to me as a Gentile. You're not on my agenda. But she just says to him, "Sir," after he says this harsh line of, "Yeah, I'll go back to that line, then we'll finish that thought." He said to her, "Let the children be fed first," that is the children of Israel, "for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs," that is the Gentiles. That would have been a common expression at the time. But then she has this response. "I get it. You're a Jew. I'm a Gentile. But sir, we're already being blessed by you. We're already getting the crumbs that are falling off the table." And in her saying that, she reveals her clean heart. For what comes out of her mouth reveals her heart. She doesn't respond with bitterness. She doesn't say something like, "Oh, you Jewish leaders are all the same. You think you're better than us. You demean me because I'm a woman." None of that comes out of her mouth. There's no defensive speech. There's no vindictive language. She simply re-ups her ask, "Sir, I'm just looking for a crumb. You've been blessing us already." And she reveals a pure and loving heart. And so how does Jesus respond? "Then he said to her, 'For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter.'" Come on. Makes me cry just reading it. But that's not it. That's not all Mark has to tell us, and he butts these stories up together. She went home. She found the child lying on the bed, the demon gone. And then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis, the region of the 10 cities. Major metropolitan area. Think, you know, for us, think London or New York or Amsterdam. Some major port city, a place of commerce, busy. And in this busy place, which would also have a very large Gentile population, in this spot where he's gone to be away, they brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech. And they begged him to lay hands on him. Pay attention to this move. So they, some friends, some people brought to him a deaf man. Cannot hear, cannot speak. They present him to Jesus. Jesus seems to discern what's going on and what the man needs. So he took him aside in private, away from the crowd, put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," in the Aramaic, that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Of all the miracles that Jesus has done, Mark selects a few because not only are they inspiring in and of themselves, but they also illustrate a broader point. They help show us Jesus' healing ministry and how it affects the world beyond the individual being healed. The fact that these friends, the they in this story, someone in that they has heard about Jesus. Jesus in this metropolitan area, they know that he's there. That's how strong the reputation is. And they say, if anyone, they know, if anyone can open his ears, I've heard 10 stories about the deaf hearing. Let's take him. And Jesus is presented with this one. And what does he do? He takes him off by himself. He engages with him personally, touches him, prays over him. You can practically feel the energy leave Jesus, go out of his fingertips and into this man's ears, healing every nerve and neuron, anointing his tongue. And he can hear. He says to him, be opened. Have your ears opened so that you can hear. Have your tongue loosed that you can speak. And it's interesting that he's given this individual the ability to hear and to speak, and then commands him and the others to not say anything about what they've seen and heard. He's not quite ready for this thing to leak out, but clearly the word is out. And the more he says, shh, we gotta keep this thing contained, they can't contain it. They have to speak it. He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. It's about healing. The deaf man was healed of his deafness and his speech impediment. And perhaps those who brought him to Jesus to be healed were healed of any doubt they might have had as to who he was and why he had come, which maybe gets us back to how the Spirit has moved me to preach today. You need to be healed. And I need to be healed. And maybe for some of us, we can't pray for ourselves. We're not comfortable praying for ourselves for whatever reason. So what I would ask you to do then, be like the mother petitioning in prayer on behalf of her daughter, or be like the friends, be like they who brought him to Jesus. Maybe take a moment. Let's do that. Take a moment right now. Maybe put it on a piece of paper or just hold it very deeply in your mind. If I say right now, who in your life needs to be healed? Pay attention to the first name, the first couple of names that come to mind, and bring them to Jesus. Consider the beauty of this story. In the midst of the crowds, in the midst of all the people that come and press in and need the presence of Jesus, the healing touch of Jesus, you're in that crowd and you have a friend that you want to get in front of the Savior so that he would heal them. Name that person. Lord Jesus, I bring before you my loved friend, my brother, father, sister, cousin, auntie, uncle, son, daughter. Lord Jesus, I bring them before you. And I leave them in your care so that maybe you might take them off by themselves and bring them the healing that they need for such a time as this. And in bringing that beloved to the presence of Jesus, know that you are healed as well. Know that as we read and reread, tell and retell, and pray over these stories in the Gospels, that we begin to understand what Mark says when he says, this is the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. It is good news indeed, to which I say, Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of apostles and disciples, God of the unnamed faithful, we call out to you and we pray. And we confess, O God, the many ways that we have sinned, by the things that we have done and the things that we have neglected to do, by the things that we have said, and for the times we've held our tongue when we should have spoken up, the actions we've taken, and the times when we've sat idly by. We bring it all to you. And we pray to claim the promise that you made, that when we're honest, we come to you with an open heart and open hands, when we come to you vulnerable, seeking your healing and your forgiveness, that you will do that for us. And so we pray, God, forgive us, help us. And in the assurance that we are forgiven, we give you thanks. Thanks for all that you have done for us. Thank you for the healings that we have received so far and the healing that is to come. And we ask that you continue to bring your healing and your provisions into the world. God, we pray over the people in positions of power, especially those who seem to abuse their power, those who have lost their way, who have given in to selfish ambition. But you know them to be people of great talent and wisdom and intellect. I pray that you would bring them healing. Show them the way. Show them the error of their way. And realign their hearts with your hearts. And God, for the folks just making their way through every day, our friends and neighbors, the people we pass on the street, the people we might sit next to at church or stand in line behind at the grocery store. We pray, God, come alongside of us. Help us to truly see one another. Open our ears to truly hear one another. Anoint our tongues so that we could speak your truth to one another. And as we've considered how it is you heal, we hold that in mind as we consider the prayer lists that we keep, the names and the situations, the joys and the concerns of everyday life. And so we bring this list to your attention. We hold it in your presence. And we humbly ask, O God, would you consider our prayer lists, all of our prayer lists? And as we hand them over to you, O God, we then wait. Quietly wait to listen for your voice. And so we pray, dear God, take these lists and join us here in this quiet space. We break our silence. And it seems all too soon that we break our silence. Help us to practice this gift of peace and quiet every day. But as we continue on, we do ask that you hear us as we say together a prayer that has been handed down generation upon generation, a prayer that goes by your name. Hear us, O God, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we will do so with a keen sense of the healing presence of Jesus in our lives. That we would seek it for ourselves and for all that we know and love, for our friends and neighbors, and yes, even our enemies. That in the presence of Christ, we are healed, we are made whole. We are changed. Our hearts are cleansed. We become new creations in the name of our God, whom we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who anoints you with healing and peace. Go in peace. Amen.